Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you today. We're continuing our discussion on choices in education, this week focusing on homeschool education. Next week, we'll jump into day school options as well. So looking forward to continuing the discussion. Today, great guest lined up as we continue focusing on some guests who have made that transition from a demanding career into the choice of home educator. So we're going to talk with Dr. Edie Rutter Wadsworth here in just a little bit. But before we get into the conversation, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website. Click on the sponsor section there where the CUW logo is, and that'll take you to their website. You can find out all about the great programs they have to offer, including their accelerated adult learning programs and centers around the country, including one right here in St. Louis. So check it out. If you'd like to join the conversation today as we're discussing homeschool as a choice for education, you can do so here in the St. Louis area. The phone number is 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, it's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send an email to family@kfuo.org. Joining us by phone today, Dr. Edie Rutter Wadsworth joining us by phone. And Edie, you've been a guest on here before. Glad to have you back. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, did I get it right? I always want to invert your name. Is it?
You can just call me Edie. I haven't actually been practicing for a few years, and I could probably sooner help you knit a scarf than treat your conditions at this point. You can just call me Edie, but it's Edie Wadsworth, yeah.
Okay. Well, Edie, tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you practiced medicine for a while, and so tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll back up even further in history, too.
Okay, sure. Yes, I went to medical school right after college and pursued a career in family medicine. And when I got out of residency, I practiced part-time. I had little babies and big kids at that time, but I just had a baby. And so I stayed home for a couple of years and just worked ER shifts on the weekends. And then after they got a little bit older, I practiced in a family practice office setting for 3 or 4 years, and then gave up that to homeschool my daughters. So yeah, that's kind of my pathway.
I like how you said I just worked ER shifts.
I know.
No one just works ER shifts.
Okay, so I didn't sleep for 2 years. That's all right, though.
Well, we have a newborn in the house, and I'm not really sure if we'll sleep for 2 years either. So
I know. It's just one of those things that happens. It was actually, though, a good way to, I worked weekend nights so that we didn't have to have childcare. So I, you know, had the kids during the week. And then when I worked on the weekend nights, my husband would take care of them during the day while I slept. You know, you do what you have to when you have to. So.
Right, right. And I was just kidding. Our son's doing all right with sleep. We do the same thing. We kind of take turns when we can. My wife takes the majority of the nighttime feedings and changes and all that stuff. But I try to help out when I can. And it is. But children are a blessing from the Lord.
They are. Mm-hmm. They are. And it has been a great... It's been a great learning experience for me because I had two kids while I was in medical school, so I had them already. And then after I finished a residency, I had two more. So I've really done it both ways. I've raised basically two kids while I worked crazy hours, full-time job. And then I've had two kids that I got to stay home with. So I've, you know, got to experience it all firsthand. And they're a blessing either way, but I tell you, it sure has been amazing to see how the Lord works and how He nurtures us all, you know, when we're able to take that time out and be with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you made the choice, as you said earlier, you made the choice to homeschool at one point. And let's back up to even further in history. What was your education like as a child?
I was educated in public schools my whole life. It never was really an option to do anything different. I was raised by a single mom who worked three jobs, and so I always attended public school. I loved school and did well in school, but I never really learned that much about the education process until later when I started just becoming interested in you know, you look back at your own education and start to ask questions and start to wonder what would have been different. And when I had kids, and then, you know, it became an issue for how am I going to educate them, and I just started reading a lot about it. And so when my older two kids were in grade school, before they entered school, when they were about to enter school age, I was just doing a lot of reading about education and the different philosophies, and so that's how I got interested in it, really, is just trying to figure out what to do with my own kids. But my own background was, public education all the way.
So you went to public school all the way through, and then college and medical school, and along the way, we're blessed with two children, and then and more came along after med school, and that's when you made that decision to consider homeschool. And it sounds like it started with reading.
Yeah, I've always been a reader, and there were a couple of books that we can link to, but I'll just mention a few books that I read that really changed. Made me start thinking about it instead of just automatically sending our kids to school like we've sort of been taught to do in our culture. Mm-hmm. And one of those books was called Dumbing Us Down by John Taylor Gatto. And that book was very eye-opening. He was a New York City public school teacher for 30 years. And after looking back on his career, he just gave some very insightful critiques of our current education system, and it probably more than any other book at the time really influenced me. It made me start really thinking about the decisions I was making for my own kids. It made me ask the hard questions of things that I think we automatically accept in education, that, you know, it's arranged by peer groups, and so your child is, you know, kind of segregated off into a peer group for all these years. It's kind of a false construct that you don't really find in any other situation in society. And it kind of creates these pseudo communities that schools forge that have a lack of nurturing and love that you would have in a family. You isolate children from their communities for the most part. You know, their community then becomes their school, and just a lot of things that made me think about something that I had just grown up with. And I think that because it's just the water we swim in, we sometimes don't step back and look at what's really happening there. And I think he made some connections, too, that were interesting, that, you know, we have a society of people who are addicted to all kinds of things, distraction being one of them, but it's really often the school setting and situations that teach us that, to just not to delve deep into issues, but go from one subject to another quickly. And I don't know, there was just a lot of things in that book that drove home, or that at least made me think about it more. And then I read another book called The Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis. And that kind of was when I began to get interested in classical education. And in that book, Lewis makes a lot of great points. But one of them is, you know, really, what is the goal of education? And the goal of education is to cultivate virtue, to teach our children what they ought to love, and to teach them to order, you know, their affections in the right way. And I think that if you look at, you know, what our broader goals are, especially as Christians, for us to teach the faith to our kids, to teach them to love what they ought to, it's very difficult to do that often, especially in a public school environment. I don't think it's impossible. I just think we have to be very aware of what they're being mm-hmm. taught.
Vigilant.
Know? Yes, vigilant.
So it started with some reading that really prompted some big questions, it sounds like, for you. Rather than just going with the flow and doing what we always do, I like how you said, it's just the water we swim in.
Yeah.
What an interesting picture you paint there, and I think that's very accurate. We just do what everybody
what
else
we see.
See, what everybody else has been doing, what we've grown up in, and not really even questioning it. And of course, when we start asking questions, that's when the water we swim in starts getting kind of rocky.
Yeah.
And we start creating, and I'm sure that when you started asking those questions and started investigating more the possibility of homeschool education, and maybe started talking about it with others in the family, did you talk more about it with others in the family?
Yeah, I had first became interested in it when my older kids were younger, but I was in medical school at the time, and so I didn't feel like I really had that much of a choice, except that I enrolled them in a classical Christian school. And then once I got to know the people, then I became surrounded by a bunch of other people who were really passionate about education.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that led to 10 more books. It just sort of snowballed from there. And I became really interested in looking back at my own education and seeing so many gaps. And this was probably 15 years ago, I started a reading plan and a reading schedule to kind of re-educate myself. There were so many classic books that I had never read. And the more that I read about classical education, the more that I realized that it's something that we have to embody. We can't just tell our kids, give them a list of things. Well, here's what you should learn and here's how you should be. We have to embody. We incarnate that for them. And I felt like if I want my kids to have this kind of classical education, I didn't even have it. So I just embarked on a reading plan. And then I finally, that was during residency. And then when I finally graduated, I had another baby. And, and at that time I was reading voraciously everything I could get my hands on about education and still trying to keep up, my own reading schedule of giving myself the education I never had, so that when I had kind of my second set of kids, I just felt like it was going to be really hard to find a place to give them all these things that I wanted to give them.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter at the time, my two younger kids went to a classical Christian school for a year. And my younger daughter was struggling a little bit with just the rigor of the schedule and asked me if I would homeschool her. And I had been out in practice for about 5 years by that point. And my heart was always at home. I worked part-time, but I just struggled. I missed my kids, and I didn't like missing things at school. I always struggled with it. And when she asked me to homeschool, it just set off this series of... It's almost like she gave me permission to do what I felt like I was called to do anyways,
mm-hmm.
And it was really neat. And we can talk about how hard it was, but during those honeymoon moments of realizing that I was going to be able to do it for a while, it was not that hard for me to give up the career, because it's just almost impossible for two people to work demanding full-time mm-hmm. career-type jobs and do justice to their children. I think it's very difficult to do that. And we did the best we could during those 5 years, but my husband was totally supportive. We knew that we would be able to cut back and not have to live on my income, and so we just sprung for it. I quit working in, I think it was June of that year, and started homeschooling in August. So,
how did that go? How did that leaving your medical profession?
It was so hard. I wish I could paint a better picture and say, oh, it was great. But, I went from sort of a powerful, respected, sought-after career where I worked in the same office as my husband. We had colleagues that were... we had the same colleagues, the same mm-hmm. peer group. I dressed up every day and got my nails done and had a nanny and had, it was all kind of glamorous. And it's hard in some ways to give that up. And I didn't realize at the time how hard it would be. And so then you're home, and I didn't know how to stay home. I had never been a stay-at-home mom, much less a homeschooler. And so, you're home every day in the trenches, kind of like on the front lines is how I felt about it at the time.
So it was like being back in the ER.
It's very hard. Yeah, and it took us a while to get our stride. It probably took a year before I felt like, okay, I'm kind of at peace with it. I think I can do this. But I think one of the hardest parts about the transition for me was that when you are in that kind of intimate environment with your kids all day, it is a pressure cooker. You know, it can be an intense environment. And I realized before I started homeschooling, I would have said, oh, I'm very patient and I'm very kind and I'm generous. And I would have thought all those things about myself. And after about a month of homeschooling, I realized I'm none of those things. And it brought me to this point of repentance like nothing else has ever done in my life. And I feel like it did the same thing for our kids. You know, sometimes when we're not spending as much time with our kids, we're tolerant of behavior that we shouldn't be. And then maybe we lash out in anger because we feel guilty. And it just brought us to a whole different place in our relationship where we had to live daily in repentance, forgiving each other all the time, learning to be patient and kind with each other. And you know, we eventually, I feel like, got there for the most part, but there were a lot of tears early on.
Well, I think in your story so far, you've answered all of my questions.
I talk a lot.
No. All good stuff. All the things that I was going to ask, you got into the good stuff. How does it impact family life? You know, that's one of the questions that I think some people, one of the reasons people might consider, parents might consider homeschool is because they want a different family life. Just what you were describing.
And I can tell you that of all the benefits, and I think they are many benefits to homeschooling your kids, but one of them is that. And my girls are in seventh grade this year, but they went back to school for the first time. And oh, do I miss those slow mornings at home where we read scriptures together and we read literature together, and a lot of times while I would read their history lesson or their science lesson, they would do cute little crafts and knitting and just a slower pace of life that really allows for so much more creativity and exploration and enjoyment of the outdoors. And I'm sure that I look back on it slightly with rose-colored glasses because I'm already missing it. But it is such a wonderful lifestyle for a family. And I think we don't realize, again, because it has so become just the way life is. We're so busy, you know, and we run around all the time. And I felt like for those years of homeschooling, it just allowed us to be settled. And we spent so much time at home together in a relaxed environment, but rigorous nonetheless. You know, if I have a lot of things posted on my blog of the curriculum we used, and it was a very rigorous curriculum. You know, it's not like we didn't do a lot of work. We did a lot of good stuff, a lot of learning. We took Latin for 4 years. Wow. We did an online Latin class that I did with the girls and that I took with them. Of course, I didn't know Latin. And
which
and
probably would have helped before med school, right?
What's that?
That probably would have helped before med school, Latin.
Yes, it would have. It sure would have. And, you know, last year, the girls and I we studied the ancients and history, and we spent 4 months reading the Odyssey together. And, you know, for sixth graders, I mean, it was a rigorous curriculum. And I think a lot of people are scared of that, thinking, well, I can't give them at home what they could get at school. But I just don't think that's true. I think if you're willing to be learning along with them, which is kind of the philosophy that I took, you know, again, you embody the truth. If they see that your appetite for learning and growing is great, then it's going to be contagious to them. They're going to want to learn too. So I think in that way, that's also what makes it difficult though, because you can't be a phony. You know, you can't just hand them a set of worksheets and say, here, do this, learn this, and tell me what you learned at the end. I think you have to be, at least at the younger ages, I think you have to be really involved and it's pretty demanding. I can tell you for sure it's the hardest job I've ever had. It's way harder than practicing medicine, way harder than working in the ER, but so much more rewarding too. And that investment that I made, the time that I gave to that, I wouldn't trade for anything.
I'm sure it was something that you will cherish, and certainly your children will cherish, whether they see it now or not. I'm sure that they will value it
right.
at some point in the future. You mentioned earlier there were things that you wanted your children to learn that you didn't think that they would learn in another school setting. Things that you wanted them to learn, you wanted them to gain, and that probably the only way that could happen is if you were teaching them or if they were in homeschool. We've got right. about 2 minutes before we go to break. And then so if you want to start into that story, we'll take a short break and then finish it up in just a little bit. But what were some of the things?
Well, I think first of all, we're Lutheran, and there wasn't a Lutheran school here, and I felt like in order to just really teach my kids the faith, as we confess and practice it in our confessional church, I felt like it was really the only option. And so we were very intentional about that. And our girls learned the catechism early on. We went through a lot of materials from Concordia. And we just really wanted to be able to enculturate them in Lutheran doctrine and practice. Mm-hmm. And we felt like that even with other Christian schools around here, it just wouldn't be the same. And so for that, I think we felt like there wasn't really another good option at the time. I think now that my girls are very catechized, they're very well catechized in their faith, they know what they believe and why they believe it, and I think it's easier now. You know, we mm-hmm. have the options are more, but back then, that was really one of our main reasons for wanting to have them home and to really be able to teach them the faith.
That makes sense to me. You want them to have a firm foundation before you send them out into the rest of the world.
Yep, exactly. And it was just, we just didn't have any other, you know, good option for doing that. So for that reason, it was so worth it. I feel like they're very well taught and catechized. And they, you know, we don't live in a Lutheran culture. We're in the South. So, you know, half the time I think people, they don't know what to make of that. And I wanted them to have a strong identity, you mm-hmm. know, and to not try to say, well, we like this church better or this one's more popular. You know, I just wanted them to have a firm foundation in why we believe what we believe.
And that's a legitimate, to me, that's a legitimate reason. And that's a substantial reason why you would want to be the primary educators for your
right.
children,
yep.
to make sure that they understand, that they hear the word of God, that they're catechized in the one true faith, and that they're understanding, that our God is a gracious God.
Yes.
You know, that they hear his law, they learn his law, but they also learn the grace of Jesus. So that makes sense to me. And I think to our listeners too, a lot of our listeners would really grasp why it's important for our children to have that basic catechesis before going out into the rest of the world. Now, in some families that might work with a day school setting. You know, they might have the time to do that. They might be able to make the time work to do that, but I can see why it was important to you to be able to do that in a homeschool setting. So that makes sense to me. And I think, As I work with families in my congregation and see how they're approaching catechesis, I think there needs to be a lot of time dedicated to it. So homeschooling
yes.
for that purpose makes a lot of sense to me. Well, we're going to continue this conversation. We've got to take a short break here in just a second. But I want to hear, you said there were lots of reasons, it sounded like. I know that probably
sure.
being the first and foremost, but other things that you... wanted them to learn. So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Stick around. We're talking with Edie Wadsworth about their choice for homeschool for their family. Stick around for more on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Can Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sex selection is one of the most repulsive reasons for abortion. It's usually practiced when parents find out they're expecting a girl but want a boy, so they abort her. Sex selection abortion is running rampant in India and China. So far, more girl babies have been aborted in Asia than the entire female population of the United States. Professor Matthew Connolly of Columbia University testified in Congress that sex selection abortion began in the 60s, and guess who was behind it? It was none other than Planned Parenthood's head of research, Stephen Polgar, who first urged biologists to work on a way to identify the sex of an unborn baby. The rest is disgraceful and tragic history. It's time we stop tax funding of Planned Parenthood.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Live Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Charles St. Ange about the ethical implications of gene mapping infants for health risks. Also on Wednesday, we'll continue our series on the Formula of Concord, talking with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House about original sin.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
In 2017, Christianity will celebrate the 500th year of the Lutheran Reformation. In anticipation of this worldwide event, Worldwide KFUO is proud to present New York Metropolitan Opera star Janet Hopkins in a musical drama as told from the mind of Katharina von Bora Luther. This modern opera is performed in English. The music is melodic and fresh. Composer Dr. Glenn Winters has masterfully woven Lutheran hymnody into the score, which makes for an exciting work of art that faithfully represents Katie Luther and the Reformation. This must-see performance will be Friday, October 25th, 7 p.m. at Concordia Seminary in Clayton. For tickets, go to www.itickets.com and search for Katie Luther, or by phone at 800-965-9324. That's 800-965-9324.
Can prayer move an unmovable object, like the U.S. Congress? As the federal government remains partially shut down and about to hit a debt ceiling, House Chaplain Father Patrick Conroy asked God
to impel those who possess power here in the Capitol to be mindful of those whom they represent who possess little or no power, and whose lives are made all the more difficult by a failure to work out serious differences.
On the other side of the Capitol, Senate Chaplain Barry Black prayed for God to calm the verbal storm.
May the tirades of majorities or minorities be equally impotent to sway our lawmakers from doing what is best for America.
He also prayed the senators will be ethical
as they strive to match their words with deeds.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us today. It's a good day here in St. Louis, and we're continuing our conversation about choices in education. We're talking today with Edie Wadsworth about their choice, their family's choice for homeschool, and it's been a good conversation. Lots of reasons that they have for choosing homeschool. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so today, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. And we do have a listener, Cheryl, calling us from Indianapolis. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi. I just wanted to ask Dr. Wadsworth if about this concept that I heard about homeschooling, where the mother read through the whole entire Bible with her children. She skipped Leviticus the first time, and then when she got to Hebrews, she found that she had to go back to it. But her children, I think one of her children was 4 years old when she started, and she found that her children were listening to her read at first, and then after she got done reading, they would go and act out the stories on their own, and she was just amazed at how much they understood from what they read, or from what she read to them. And it was something I just wouldn't imagine doing that myself, and I didn't do that with my children. And you were talking about, you know, all the classical reading, and but wow, tackling the entire Bible, that just seemed really interesting to me.
A big undertaking. Well, thank you, Cheryl. We'll let Edie respond to that. Edie, tackling the whole Bible?
Well, I think that's awesome, but I tell you how we did it. We took a little bit of a different approach. Again, we attend a liturgical church that follows the lectionary, and so that's how we did our Bible study and our Bible reading, is we took the readings that were coming up for the coming Sunday, and I let the girls take turns reading those. Often we would memorize portions of those. We would talk about them. And then what I noticed is on Sunday, when we would get to church, the pastor would read the gospel lesson, which we had already read two or three times, you know, before. And they would kind of like nudge me or look up at me, you know, like, oh, we just read this. And I just felt like the church fathers who came up with that system of reading, those readings often interpret each other. And so, it was very intentional about how they set up the lectionary. And I just felt like it was such a great way to reinforce what the pastor was preaching about and what we were learning on Sunday. So that's kind of how the approach we took. And I think it was very effective. I feel like my girls have a great grasp of the scriptures, and especially, you know, the New Testament and gospel lessons, because you repeat those so often in the church year. So, I love both approaches, but I do love the wisdom in the lectionary, and so that's kind of how we approached our Bible reading.
Sure, and if you're using if your congregation uses the three-year series, you can really cover quite a bit of most of Scripture in a three-year cycle. So, you certainly can cover quite a bit.
And I feel like, too, that often, I think church bodies, differ in their approach sort of to personal Bible study and personal Bible reading. And I like reading the scriptures definitely in the chronological order, and I'm sure my girls will at some point. But I do love the wisdom of the passages being helping to interpret each other, and then getting the pastor's preaching and wisdom on it, in the same way. I loved the flow of that. We did that for about 2 years. And it was wonderful. I miss it. I have to confess, I haven't been keeping up as well with the upcoming readings as I used to when I did it with my girls every day. So,
so obviously, we talked about before the break, catechesis and teaching the faith being important. Obviously, studying the Word, reading the Word together is an important part of that. So you had time. You certainly had time for that. You mentioned things that. As we were talking about before the break, things that you wanted them to learn that you didn't think that they would learn in another school setting. What were some of those other things? Anything else?
I think maybe the main thing that I came out of that 5 years with my girls was that I felt like I had their hearts. And I think, the goal of all of it is this personal connection relationship with them. And I think that we can oftentimes think we have that, but this time together just gave us a chance to really connect. I know their hearts, and they know that they're loved, and they're secure in that. And I think that kind of relationship that you build with them over time and years is just irreplaceable. So I would say that is the main thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
that they can't get from anybody else. They can only get that from you. I don't think you have to homeschool to do it, but I think that for us, it just solidified that just true connection that we have with each other. And then also, you know, from a standpoint of the classics, I feel like even a lot of times in some classical schools, there's not as much of an emphasis on the classics as there should be. Mm-hmm. And I wanted my girls to just dig deep. You know, we spent a whole year reading Pilgrim's Progress. We spent 4 months reading the Odyssey. We spent probably 4 or 5 months reading Greek myths. We just delved deep into what we were doing and used classic literature as a way to do that. And I just felt like with just the hustle and bustle of a regular school setting, it would have been hard for them to do that. And it's one of the things that I miss, you know, in my education. I never read classics until I was an adult. And those books have just changed me. I mean, the Odyssey, the time we spent reading the Odyssey was so precious. And I think my girls learned so much from learning about Odysseus and his travels and coming back home to Penelope and Telemachus. And we spent so much time in that book that it feels like they're, you know, people in our lives. And I wanted them to have that kind of intimacy. Even if we only got through 3 books in a year at that kind of depth, mm-hmm. I just felt like it was better to go deep than to just kind of scratch the surface. So
earlier you mentioned that now the girls are in a school.
Yep.
Which means that they're obviously not homeschooling right now.
Right.
So homeschool was for a season for
right.
your family. And we talked about that earlier in the week on the program, that for some families, homeschool is homeschool for life. For others, it's for a season. What prompted the discussion, I'm sure, and then the decision to go to a day school?
Yeah, it was very difficult. It was months in the making, and you know, I had written a lot about homeschooling on my blog, and a lot of people that I knew had started homeschooling because of that, and I felt this guilt that, you know, how could I give up on this thing that I've been so passionate about? But to tell you the truth, my daughters just told me it was time. And I have grown so close to them, and I trust them, and I just trusted what they said. You know, it's time, and we really want to do this. One of my daughters said, you know, I feel like I'm getting to the point where I would really be motivated by having, you know, other teachers and other people around. It's hard for me to be as self-disciplined as I should be. I mean, she just gave some great arguments for going, and we pondered it and prayed about it. And my husband and I really weren't ready to give it up. But after a few months of kind of soul searching, and we just kept really, you know, talking to the girls about it, we just decided it was time. And they've been in now for a couple of months, and they're doing so wonderful. They love it. And I think that those years of homeschooling have just paid dividends for them. I kind of secretly hope they'll come back home next year, but I really think that if you're really in touch with your kids, you know what they need. And there was a really wise homeschooler mom who's written several books on homeschooling, Susan Wise Bauer, and she did a video series on homeschooling. And in one of her videos, she said, you know, she's the guru of homeschooling, and she said, I think with this one particular child, we homeschooled too long. He really wanted to try a classroom setting, and we didn't let him. And she said, I regret that. And I wanted my girls to know that I believe in them. I trust them. We've developed these relationships over the past few years that are deep. And I just trusted that, that they were ready. So, and it's worked out great. Again, I don't think it's necessarily forever. But I wouldn't want them to have gotten all the way through and had bitterness, mm-hmm. you know, because they couldn't try a different way. I can tell you that there's pros and cons to both. I can see that there were definitely some benefits educationally to having them home. But then there are benefits, you know, I see some benefits
in the school setting and writing and a couple of other subjects where I feel like I might not have just been the right one to teach them in those courses. I don't know. So yeah, I think it's good to be flexible. I think that if anything, I've learned not to judge other people's decisions. You know, people do what they feel like they need to do at the time, and that's kind of what we did with our family.
You mentioned earlier you used a lot of classics and appreciated and valued classical education. You taught Latin. Did you also teach logic?
No, logic usually comes, you know, the classical model is broken into three stages,
mm-hmm.
the grammar stage, the logic stage, and the rhetoric stage. And the grammar stage usually is the elementary years. When they start asking why questions is usually when they are starting to enter the logic stage. And my girls are just there in the last year or two. At the school they're going to now, they don't teach logic until eighth grade. And so they have not had formal logic. But the Latin is such a, the Latin training is a very good building block toward that. So I think all the Latin that they've had will really pay dividends when they do take logic, but they haven't taken it yet.
I thought perhaps the logic was how they made their case for...
they made some pretty good arguments.
They made their arguments for going to a day school. So.
Right.
And so things are working out well for them in the day school now, it sounds like.
They are. They're doing well. They're in a classical Christian school. It's not a Lutheran school. And there are, you know, a few little differences here and there theologically. But we just try to teach the girls that, you know, here's what we believe and why we believe it, and here's what they believe and why they believe what they believe, and so it hasn't really been an issue for us. And like I said, I don't think it's a forever decision, but it's been it's worked out well. I kind of had my own little crisis, you know, after having them home all those years, for me adjusting back to, okay, now what do I do? So, you know, I've been doing a lot of writing and hope to keep doing that. But the girls are really happy. And I can tell you, as an encouragement to any homeschool moms that are listening, my girls were very prepared. They were very well prepared for school. They haven't had any issues. I think when they went to do some testing, they felt like, oh, we're going to be inadequate because here we've been doing this at home the whole time. But they didn't have any trouble and have excelled and done well. So I think overall it's been a good decision. However, I see little signs in them already, I think, that are somewhat different. And I think we're just going to have to keep an eye on that. I noticed that when my girls were at home, they had a very sweet, humble spirit about them. They were just very kind and sweet, and they still are. I just noticed that I have to keep reminding them. You know, I think that just the culture of having a bunch of girls together in one classroom.
In a peer culture as well, I'm sure makes a difference.
Yeah, it's hard because then you realize when the girls come home to this, what is for the most part a loving environment, they forget, like, okay, here you don't have to compete and here you don't have to worry about what the other girl said.
Mm-hmm.
This is home, you know. So I've noticed a little bit of that. But again, you know, I think it has been... The fact that I listened to what they really wanted to do, I think, is it's really let them know that, you know, we love them, we're here for them. If we thought it wasn't a good situation, we certainly would make a change. But I think so far it's been good. And homeschooling, as a matter of fact, I just was at their school a couple days ago, and the other girls in their class are so fascinated by what my girls have been doing. I mean, my girls feel maybe insecure in some ways, like, oh, we've just been at home, learning at home. But what I find is that most people are very fascinated by that and, you know, and wonder, oh, you know, what did you do at home and what was that like? And I think if they could homeschool for a day, they might choose that path instead, you know. So it's been interesting for them to integrate back into
a classroom setting for sure.
You mean you got to go to school in your pajamas all the time?
That's what everybody thinks. And, you know, we kept to a pretty, a pretty good schedule. We had a printed out schedule and we didn't stick to it, you know, like crazy, but we did the same routine every day. And I think that was important. Our girls got up and got dressed and did their chores and had breakfast. And we started with Bible and memory work. And, you know, we did kind of the same routine every day. And so it, even though it doesn't feel like maybe like the structure of real school, it had its own liturgy, its own rhythm to it, you know, that was kind of nice for the girls. So.
And so now that they're at school, are you taking up tennis?
Oh, no. Actually, I'm trying to write a book. I've written a book proposal, actually, so hopefully
good.
I'll be writing a lot. But, so I've just been working that. I don't know if I'll go back to medicine. I still think that the girls need me as much as they ever did.
Absolutely.
And I have two older kids that are in college, and my daughter was just here last night, and I helped her study for a nursing test, and my son is applying to medical school, and I feel like my kids just need me now more than ever, and I want to be available as much as we can, and we've kind of changed our lifestyle enough where we don't necessarily need my income, and I just feel like it's such a blessing to be able to do it. If I needed to go back to work, I could, but for as long as I can, I'm just going to be right here and serve them and help them grow and learn as much as I can. And my husband totally supports that. He would, you know, if I wanted to go back to work, he would be supportive of that. But our girls, I mean, all our kids, I feel like they just all are still at mm-hmm. point where it's nice to have somebody available to you. And I'm so blessed and happy to be able to do it. So I'll probably be right here at home for a while.
There are a lot of lessons that can be learned. There's a lot of learning to happen that doesn't necessarily, I mean, there certainly reading is an important part of learning, but that relationship that you have with them and the learning that happens through conversations, through interaction, and the respect that you show them, I think is important, and it's not something they're necessarily going to learn in other places. So I agree. I see what you're saying. Just by being available to them, readily available to them, even while they're studying in other settings, while they're studying at college or in a Christian day school, by being available for them to support them in that, that's an important vocation as well, because they're going to learn from that relationship also.
It is. And, you know, people ask me all the time, well, if you were going to give your daughters or, you know, a young girl advice, would you advise them to do what you did, you know, to go down the path, to go through all those years of training just to give it up, you know? And it's interesting. I ponder it a lot because I think there are a lot of people who don't understand how you could do that, how you could go through all that training and then not use it. But I don't think it's void. And I think our pathway to wherever we are, we learn so much along the way. I don't know if I ever would have been that interested in education had I not gone down the path I went. And I think that all those little twists and turns were just orchestrated by God to bring me where I needed to be. I have told my daughters that I don't think, you know, a full-time demanding career is realistic for a woman who wants to raise children. And I think it's the most important job on earth. And we need women who are smart and disciplined and committed. You know, we need those kind of women as mothers. So my training really trained me well for what I'm doing. I'm not suturing up wounds in the ER or prescribing medicine, but I'm doing important kingdom work in the hearts and minds of my own kids. And I'm just thankful to be able to do it. I see it as such an important vocation, and I would, yes, want my daughters to be well educated so that they can educate their own kids. I definitely think mm-hmm. they should be, but I also think that you've got to be willing as a woman and as a mother to do the first important work first, you know, and I I don't at all. I think that we're all in different phases of life. I spent some years where, you know, I had to work full time because that's just the stage I was in my life. But, you know, we do what we know until we know or learn something better. And so I don't have any really regrets about it. I'm thankful for my education, thankful for the opportunities it could provide if I needed to go back to work. But I wouldn't trade it for this time that I've had at home. Not at all.
I think today, I think we're starting to appreciate and value moms who stay at home more than we did a few years ago. Go back 50 years and different story altogether, how we viewed the stay-at-home mom. But in the last probably 20 years or so, we kind of looked at stay-at-home moms kind of weird.
Right.
You know, why would you want to be at home with children?
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
But, and I think our culture is so changed too, because I think women have struggled to find their place in this new world. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so many conveniences that it's not like in prior days, the woman worked harder than the man at home. You mm-hmm. know, there was so much to do at home. And I think now women struggle with, well, how do I do that well at home? How do I be industrious and disciplined and a keeper at home? How do I do all that? And I think it is a hard struggle for women. But I also think that the more examples we see of smart, capable, educated women making decisions to put their family first, I think it's good for society. It's good for kids. You know, it's good for all of us. And so, yeah, I'm thankful for the women that I saw do that in my own life, and I hope to provide that same kind of example to my girls.
And when we look at the role of women in society and in the family, I know, yes, in the past we looked at it differently, and it's changing now. But if you think about it, you've made the point very clear that parents, especially mothers, are the ones who shape the next generation so significantly.
Yes.
How important is that vocation?
Is it?
How important? It's such a noble vocation. It's such an important vocation. Yes, it's not glamorous, but by all means, it is a very important vocation. I don't know why we've belittled it in the past.
I don't know why we have either. And I think, you know, one thing that helped change that for me is I went one summer and read the letters of Abigail and John Adams, and I was so inspired by her and just how educated she was and how compassionate she was. And I felt like, where are those women, you know, where are those women in our culture that even to be as well-read and well-educated as she was, she used those gifts to her own family, you know, and she raised a son who became a president. And I think we should see it in the elevated light that it is. It's such a gift from God to be able to do it. We are, you know, the bearers of the next generation. And I've been reading a lot about Mary, and I love her response when God called her. You know, she said, "Let it be to me as you say." And I feel like that's what I'm trying to teach my girls, that same willingness to accept who God made them to be. Let it be to me as you say. And right now, for me and my life, you know, it's just to be here with my family, to serve as well as I can, in whatever way I can. If I need to work sometime to do that, then I will, you know. But I'm really thankful for the time at home.
Well, thank you, Edie, for your time today and setting aside some of your writing time to talk with us today about your family and the choices you've made for education. We really appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you again in the future.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye now. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about choosing homeschool for families with children with special needs. Is homeschool a good choice? What about a classical education approach? We'll talk about that on Faith and Family tomorrow. Stick around for Moments of Assurance up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.